And of all the books in the Old Testament, if you look it through, you'll see that Isaiah is the gospel.
Yes.
Because he has more to say about the good news than anyone else. It's the most explicit.
Amen.
Of all the information about the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Found in the book of Isaiah, the prophet. He's quoted quite often in the New Testament. You'll see that as we indulge our lesson. Now, of course, we are working our way through the epistle to the Romans, and we do thank God for this awesome letter that the apostle wrote to the church at Rome. Amen. And also by extension to all of us who are here today and throughout the ages of the church all the way up until now. So we're going to go ahead and take a reading from the Old Testament, just a few verses from Isaiah chapter number 54. And you'll find these words from the Old Testament, Isaiah 54 and 13. And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. In righteousness shalt thou be established, thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. Behold, I have created the smith that bloweth the coals in the fire, and that bringeth forth an instrument for his work. And I have created the waster to destroy. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Amen. That is Isaiah 54, 13 through 17. And now for our New Testament scripture reading is found in Romans chapter 8, verse 26, verses 26 to 30. Romans 8, 26. And likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmity, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what the mind of the Spirit, of what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, we bless you, we praise you, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your Spirit, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
We thank you that you cover us, oh God, on every side. That we don't have to be fearful about where we are, who we are, what we're doing.
Yes.
Anything, Lord. You have covered us. You said you would be with us even when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. That we should fear no evil, for you are with us. You said, lo, you are with us always, even to the end of the world.
Yes.
And so, Father, for that, we thank you for that comfort, Lord. And we ask you, God, to forgive us when we are fretting and when we are worried and when we are sorrowful, Lord.
Yes.
Because you promised to be with us, to carry us through everything that we have to go through. And so, Lord, speak to our hearts today with this word, Lord. Just comfort us, God. Help us, Lord, to grow in your grace and in the knowledge of your Son, Jesus Christ.
Yes, Lord.
Bless somebody who came in to visit today that they might understand your incredible love for them.
Oh, yes.
That they might come and receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior.
Amen.
And we ask all this in the righteous name of your Son, Jesus Christ.
Jesus.
To him be glory, majesty, dominion, and power. In his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I want to talk with you today. You may be seated in the house of the Lord and in the presence of the Most High God. We want to take just for a subject today, walking with power.
Walking with power.
Amen. That's something we need to learn how to do, just to walk with power. Some one of our previous presidents said that we ought to talk softly and carry a big stick. You see?
Yep.
That way we can walk softly. He said we don't have to go stomping around, but carry a big stick. Well, I don't know if I necessarily agree with that totally, but what we want to do is learn how to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Walk
Amen.
In the confidence of the Most High God.
Yes.
God wants you to do that. He doesn't want you to be fearful.
That's right.
He doesn't want you to be timid.
Amen.
You know, he would like his people to be bold.
Yes.
And you have good reason to be bold.
Yes, we do.
Now, we're not talking about arrogant.
Right.
We're not talking about flippant or being obnoxious or anything
yes.
like that.
All right.
But we're saying take a stand on who God has made you and walk in authority.
Amen.
With his power.
Yeah.
Notice Jesus walked with power.
Yes, he did.
He came and he looked like a typical man. I can't imagine. We see so many so-called pictures of Jesus, but I don't ever imagine him the way I see those pictures, because I don't think anyone knows what he looked like.
Right.
So I wonder, how did they ever come up with a picture of Jesus other than from a mental picture that you might get from reading his word?
Mm-hmm.
But I would imagine that he looked very normal. The Bible said he looked like he was just an average Joe, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and but yet when he walked, he had authority.
Yes, he did.
He had power.
Yes, he did.
He was unique and special.
Amen.
It was not because necessarily his appearance.
Right.
But it had to do with his who he was. He was God in the flesh.
Yes, he was. Amen.
You say, think about that. Let that soak in a little. God in the flesh, walking around in a body, just like me and you. To the point that people didn't realize that he was God, except by the things that he did.
Mm-hmm.
Remember Nicodemus said, he came to him and says, Master, we know you are a teacher, come from God. Because
yes.
no one can do the signs that you do,
mm-hmm.
except God be with him.
Yeah.
See, the stuff he was doing was saying he was God.
Yes.
You know, the way he handled himself said he was God.
Yeah.
He did things that no one else could do. He gave sight to blind people who had never seen
Amen.
Before.
Amen.
We still can't do that with all our medical technology. It's impossible. Sometimes we can heal a person or something, but a person born blind with a congenital defect
mm-hmm.
is nearly impossible. We have not heard of any surgery or procedures that people can do to restore sight to a person who was totally blind
mm-hmm.
in that sense. Raising dead people, you know, when have we heard of that much? Walking on the sea. You know, I look at the Mississippi River. I don't think I would want to take a walk across there. You know, just you think about all the things that the Lord had did to show that he was God.
Yes.
Even walking up to a set of fishermen and telling them to cast your nets, and then they draw up fish in abundance.
That's right.
You know, who else would have control over the fish in the sea?
Right.
Or to speak to the sea in a storm that's coming up and say, peace be still.
Yeah.
You know, I wish I could do that. That would be a good one. I would shut down all the tornadoes and all of that. You know, but we see he displayed that he had power.
Yes, he did. Amen.
He walked with the authority of the Most High God. The key element, the thing that blew most people away, was that he was very affectionate.
Yes, he was.
Very loving.
Yes.
There was nobody who he rejected. People
Amen.
Rejected him. But he came to the most low down people who were rejected by other people.
That's right.
And he loved them.
Amen. Yes, he did.
They said, What kind of man is he going sitting with tax collectors and sinners?
Because
he hung out with people like Matthew.
Yes.
He hung out with people like Zacchaeus, went over his house.
Yes.
There were inns and hotels. When he was born, there weren't any. They didn't have any room in the inn.
Mm-hmm.
But by the time he was on the earth walking as a man, had grown up, there was plenty of room for him to lodge. Some of the la-di-da upper crust people would have loved to maybe have had him over. A few of them did.
Yeah.
But they seated him at the lower end of the table and all of that because they thought they looked down on his demeanor.
Yes, they did.
Because he hung out with prostitutes and sinners and people who were not, let's call them the upper crust, if you will.
All right.
You know, the people whose sins were obvious, he hung out with them.
Yes.
Not with the people whose sins were cloaked.
Mm-hmm.
You see, it's not that they didn't have sins. They were just cloaked in a robe and a big old headpiece, and they were all dressed up looking like they had no sin.
Right.
Or acting like they had none.
Yes.
But he didn't go to them. He went to the folks who were obviously out of the way.
That's right.
And he walked with power. He said, being with them doesn't define who I am.
Amen.
You know, it doesn't.
Amen.
Hanging out with people who are considered the lower end of society doesn't define who I am. doesn't define who we are. We shouldn't be worried about going and approaching people who need Jesus.
Amen.
No matter what their situation is. Because he is able to save anyone.
Yes, he is.
But I want you to see something here now. This is really awesome. I want you to know this. This one thought here. When God calls, he also empowers. If he calls you, he will give you all the authority and all the power you need to do everything you're supposed to do in this world.
Amen.
You don't have to worry about it. You might say, well, Pastor, what about my job and the people at my job? And what about the people in the world? And what about people who intimidate me? Well, don't worry about them at all. If you're walking with the Lord and he has called you, and you wouldn't believe him, this is the next thing I want to say, you wouldn't believe him at all if he didn't call you.
Yeah.
You see, Amen. No one can come to me, Jesus said, what, except the Father who sent me draws him. See, so any of us who are here believing in Jesus Christ, it's because God drew you to him. He called you out of whatever you were doing and said, come unto me. Like Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, come unto me,
yes,
all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Hook up with me, we would say today, and learn of me. I'm going to teach you whatever you need to know.
Yes.
And so this is the good news. God empowers the ones he calls, and he delivers you from whatever it is that keeps you from being as full as he wants you to be in this world. He has you on a journey, on a destiny. Remember we talked about being preparing for the journey.
Yes.
About a month ago.
Amen.
See, and we're on a journey. We're going somewhere.
Amen.
We're going to look back, and we can look back after a month and already see, we can see where God's hand has been at work in our ministry. Right now, some people's lives have been impacted already.
Already.
And there's a lot of scuttlebutt going on about what's going to go on at St. Timothy.
Uh-huh.
And I guarantee you it's still in the works, and God is working on it. And we are going to see the end of it.
Amen.
You know. And so we thank him for that. So he has empowered us to walk forward in his name. And he is going to empower each of us to do everything we're supposed to do.
All right.
Amen. Isaiah gave a prophecy of this, as we can see here in Isaiah 54, verse 13. He says, all thy children shall be taught of the Lord. See that?
Yeah.
And great shall be what? The peace. You know, that's what people lack the most in this world is peace.
Peace.
We go around troubled and we can't sleep at night and we toss and turn and what's going to happen with this and how are we going to resolve that, and problems and difficulties rush in.
Yes.
From every side. So peace is something that's very elusive. It tries to get away from us.
That's right.
It's hard for us to hold on to it. If we have it, it doesn't last very long, seems like, before something comes along and upsets our peace.
Mm-hmm.
And so Isaiah prophesied that we will be taught of the Lord. That means God himself will take up the job of teaching us what we need. What internal things we need, what external things we need, how we can depend on him, rely on him for everything we need.
Amen.
He is teaching you all those things. He's teaching you that no matter what enemies you may have or things that might come in your life against you,
yes,
I got that.
Yeah.
And he's teaching you to trust him.
Amen.
When you learn to trust him, like I like that song. That's why I say the Bible says that we should worship the Lord in psalms and hymns,
yes,
and spiritual songs. I like that spiritual song that Bill Withers wrote. He said, lean on me.
Yeah.
And when you are not strong, and I'll be your friend.
Yeah.
That's the way Christ comes to you.
Amen.
He says, lean on me. Depend on me.
Yes.
You know, you can trust me. That's that take my yoke upon you. If you feel a little weary, the yoke is going to keep you from going down.
Real.
See, and I'm going to pull the load and take you on to the next step you need to go.
Yeah.
So he says, lean on me. You see? But the good news is God is teaching us. See, we learn about God when we hear his word.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord himself is the one teaching us. No one else can instruct us but the Lord.
Amen.
And the result of that is, great shall be the peace of thy children. See that?
Yes.
So when we're instructed of the Lord, that's why we like to come and congregate at the church, to hear a good word from the Lord, because the Lord is trying to teach you some things.
Mm-hmm.
He wants you to know how to have peace in a troubled time.
Yes.
He wants you to know, no matter what anybody says, I got you.
That's right. Amen.
I'm with you.
Amen.
He said, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the world. Yes. Somebody might get on the TV and tell you, well, we don't know what's going to happen over here. And they come up with all kinds of stuff. Global warming is going to destroy the earth.
Mm-hmm.
But God said, seed time and harvest, summer and winter, cold and heat shall not cease.
Yes.
Until as long as the earth remains in Genesis 8:22. Mm-hmm. You know what? If you trust him, you won't be worried about stuff that people prophesy, evil kind of things that they say.
All right.
And they say it's based on different kinds of scientific stuff. But they don't believe God, the people who say that. And so your peace comes from the Lord and from him teaching you what is right and how to lean on him and trust him. In righteousness, he said, thou shalt be established.
Yes.
That means God is building you.
Amen.
He's charging you up with his righteousness. He wants you to know, I got you. I'm the highest judge there is. Nobody can overrule my dominion.
Amen.
My authority, and I am building you.
Amen.
In righteousness.
Yes.
See, righteousness, the Bible says, exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. See, and we are in a dangerous time, really. I'd have to say, I believe there's a lot of stuff that you might worry about if you are not saved.
Right.
If you don't know God's got your back, there's a lot of stuff going on in the government, going on in the cities and in the neighborhoods around you that you might have a tendency to be worried.
Mm-hmm.
But when you trust in the righteous Lord,
trust in Jesus,
he gave his son.
Yes.
In order to make you clean.
Amen.
In order for you to be free and know that you're free from sin.
That's right.
You don't have to worry about going into a judgment of a condemnation.
Amen.
We saw that earlier in the book of Romans. No condemnation.
None.
To those who are in Christ Jesus. He is establishing you in righteousness.
Yes.
He says, thou shalt be far from oppression. Oppression is outside pressure that tries to pressurize your life.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff from the outside.
Yes.
External pressure. Oppression when someone else tries to put pressure on your life from outside. But I am establishing you in righteousness, he says here. You shall be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear. See that word?
Yes.
No fear.
No fear.
Don't go around letting people intimidate you with fearful statements and prophecies and things. You
Amen.
See? Amen. To put Amen. Trouble in your mind that really, you know, God has got my back.
That's right.
No, it doesn't mean I won't have trouble.
Right.
It doesn't mean there won't be times when things are not the way I would like them to be.
Mm-hmm.
But the Bible even says, as we looked earlier in Romans, tribulation works patience.
Yes.
So when we go through trouble, it teaches us patience.
Yes, it does.
There's certain things we don't learn unless we learn it by going through trouble.
Amen.
And so you think of it this way, and you're going to see this later in the lesson. It's going to explode and hit you, and then you're going to be all right. The trouble has a good benefit for you.
All right.
You know, and it's easy to say, but when we're in the middle of it, it's not pleasant at the time.
Uh-huh.
But once we get past it,
my Lord,
we realize whatever it was, it wasn't so big that it consumed me.
Yes.
God was there with me.
Amen.
He supplied what I needed to get me past it.
Amen.
And I'm still standing.
My Lord.
That's what you're going to see.
My
Lord. So Isaiah prophesies that. He says, not only fear, but then there's terror.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to be free from fear. He says here, you shall not fear. And from terror, you won't be terrorized.
That's right.
See? For it shall not come near thee.
My Lord.
Now, you know, it doesn't mean it won't happen, but it won't get you down. It won't get in you and keep you from being who God made you to be.
Amen. Amen.
Now, notice, this is the reason why we need to see this, and this is going to take us right into Romans 8. Here, notice this. He says, behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. This is all these troublesome things
mm-hmm.
in the world. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake.
Yes.
People who don't trust God are the ones who need to be worried. They're the ones who need to fear.
Amen.
They're the ones who are going to be in terror.
That's
see, because there's coming a day when God's going to sort the righteous from the wicked.
Oh, yes.
You see?
Yes.
And so it's not you who needs to be concerned. They're going to fall for your sake. Why? Because I'm going to stand up and defend those that are mine, is what God is saying. Then he explains even this from the spiritual component, verse 16, for behold, I created the smith that bloweth the coals. A smith was kind of like we might call him a blacksmith in those days, where they made things out of iron and out of steel. You see, they made tools and implements of agriculture and weapons and things of that sort. But he says, now this is a spiritual metaphor in verse 16, behold, I have created the smith that bloweth the coals of fire. He uses bellows to make the fire hot enough. And he says, and they bringeth forth an instrument for his work, and I have created the waster to destroy. God says, I'm the one made the devil. He didn't make me. He didn't make you. The devil didn't. You know, he has nothing to do with you in your case. I made him. And I have a purpose for him. He can't do anything if I don't let him do it. Remember when the devil, Peter was going through some issues, and Jesus told him he had just promised how faithful he would be to Jesus right before they took Jesus to crucify him. And he said, Lord, I'll never forsake you. And he got all up on his high horse. And Jesus said, Simon, Simon, called him by his old name. You're not acting like Peter. I said you were Peter. Stone.
Yes.
But you're acting wishy-washy, so I'm going to call you Simon, Simon. Satan has sought to have you.
Yes.
That he might sift you as wheat. See that? Satan, in other words, asked permission.
Yes, he did.
He had to ask permission.
Amen.
To sift Simon.
Amen.
You know what? He didn't say, oh, I'm going to stop you from doing that. But he said, but I prayed for you.
Yes.
That your faith fail you not. See, faith is what's going to carry you through.
That's right.
So that when you are converted, right now you are not getting this, but when you are converted, you can strengthen your brothers.
Yes.
So I'm going to teach you how to go through trouble, so that when you come out of the trouble, you can come to the next person that's having trouble and say, hey, let me tell you what God did for me.
Amen.
Let me tell you how he fixed it.
Glory, hallelujah.
Somebody had pronounced that it was over for me.
Yes.
That I got trouble that's going to consume me.
Yeah.
It's going to take me out.
Yeah.
But guess what? But God. That's what we say. God came in. He stepped in and he took me through it. And I'm still standing. See, when you go through the trouble, you can come out and you can tell somebody else that's in the midst of a trial what God did for you.
Amen.
You see that? And don't worry about the devil. God says, I created him for a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
He has a reason. Now, the good news comes in 17. No weapon that is formed, no matter what he makes, no matter what kind of device he cranks up against you, it shall not prosper.
Yes.
And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. You will be speaking judgment over them in the day of judgment. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me.
Amen.
Saith the Lord. God says, I'm the one declared you righteous.
Yes.
You're not righteous by yourself.
That's right.
That's why he said in Matthew 6:33, like we had this morning, seek ye first the kingdom of God and what? His righteousness. See, I'm not concerned with my personal righteousness to make me right with God.
Yes.
God gives me his righteousness.
Yes.
He gives you his righteousness. When you trust in his son, he covers you with his righteousness.
Right.
And you don't have to worry about generating your own, which is great news.
Amen.
You see? And so he says, whatever weapon is being formed by the waster who I have created, don't worry about it. It shall not prosper against you. No matter what slanderous words that come to you or against you, he says, don't worry about it. Because if it rises up against you in judgment, you are going to condemn those words yourself. And this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Now you'll see how that ties in here as we look at our lesson in Romans 8. And I wanted you to see that background right there in Isaiah. Now, keep in mind, Isaiah was quoted by John in the 6th chapter of John. You may want to make a side note about this. John chapter 6, Jesus says in verse 44, this is kind of a reiteration of what we just said to you this morning. John 6 and 44 says, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. See that? We don't come to God on our own. Did you know that? If you confess the hope in Christ, it's because God the Father drew you.
Right. Amen.
You know why? Because we were dead in our trespasses and sin.
Right.
Dead people don't do anything.
Right.
They're just dead. They can't say, well, think, I better get up and... No, they can't do that. They're just dead. Okay? So we're dead when we're alive. That's the news people don't get. The average person going around doesn't realize that when you are not in the body of Christ, you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord.
That's right.
You are a walking dead person.
Amen. Amen.
And you need God to wake you up. And have you understand that he has one way you can be right with him.
One way.
And that's by his grace through faith in his son.
Amen.
You know, when you put your trust in Jesus, that's why he came. That's why you hear the church going on and on about Jesus. People come, well, why are they going on and on about Jesus? Because Jesus is the only one.
Yes.
He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father but by me.
Amen.
One way you can come.
Amen.
And you don't even come yourself unless it says here in John 6:44, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him.
That's
see
right.
that?
Amen.
And then he says that I will raise him up at the last day.
Yes.
The good news is he can raise you up out of that living spiritual death right now.
Amen.
That's what he wants to do. He wants everyone to trust him so that he can impute his righteousness to you. That means to give you his righteousness. Now notice verse 45. This is the quote from Isaiah that we just read. John says, it is written in the prophets. He speaks of the prophet Isaiah, and they shall all be taught of God. See that?
Uh-huh.
Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me.
Amen.
See, that's the first lesson God teaches, is that he has given his son.
Yes.
For whosoever will, no matter who you are, no matter how far away from him you are, no matter how dead in trespasses and sin you are, no matter what you have committed or anything that's going on in your life, there's one way you can be right. God is teaching you to trust Jesus Christ and you shall be saved.
Amen.
I gave him for that reason.
Amen.
And he is the only one that can make you right. You won't be right based on good deeds and bad deeds. The world likes to say, oh, God has a big scale and he puts the good deeds over here and the bad deeds over here. And if I did more good than bad, then I'll be all right. No. Doesn't work like that.
Amen.
So how do we know? You know, one bad deed might weigh 49 times more than one good deed.
Amen.
And the scale might get like this.
Yes.
The good is over here. And the bad is over here and the good has been taken out of the equation. So how do we know that? The only way we can be sure is understand that God does not grade on the curve.
That's right.
You know,
Amen.
He doesn't. He doesn't grade on the curve. Sometimes we have to take the grade on the curve because nobody made the right scores. And so we drop the bar down lower, you see. That's what they used to do when I was in school sometimes. They said, well, nobody made 100, so we're going to make this score here 100 and grade everybody on down. Well, God doesn't do that. You know, everybody trying to come by works, you have a zero.
Won't work.
You have a zero. Whoever trusts in Christ, you have 100%.
Amen.
That's the way it works with God. His math is a little different other than what we think. You
yes.
see, if you trust in Christ and believe that God is raising from the dead, you have 100
That's
on
right.
the test. You
Amen.
Pass with flying colors.
Yes.
You see, if you deny Christ, you have zero. So that's the way it works with God. And God is the one teaching that lesson. That's what it says here in John 6:45. It's written in the prophets, and we just read it from Isaiah 54:13, that all thy children, the children of the Lord, are taught of God to trust in Christ. You see that? And those who have, he goes on to say, that every man therefore that hath heard and learned of the Father comes to me, Jesus said. See that? So when the Father teaches you that Christ is the only way, the truth, and the life, that's how he calls you. And you'll see how that plays into our other part of the lesson in Romans 8. So in the design of our salvation, God has provided the means by which the power we need is supplied by his instruction, energized by his spirit to fuel and direct the entire process perfectly of salvation. See, God designed it in eternity past. I'll read that one more time. It's on your sheet there. In the design of our salvation, God has provided the means by which the power we need is supplied by his instruction. That's why we have to be taught of God and energized by his spirit. The Holy Spirit wakes us up and he fuels and directs the entire process of our salvation. God does it.
Amen.
You know the reason why? If we did it, we go, yeah, you know, we'd start to boast about who we are and what we did. But The Bible says, for by grace ye have been saved.
That's right.
Through faith.
Faith.
Yeah. And that what? Not of yourselves. See that?
That's right.
It is the gift of God.
Gift of God.
Not of works. Lest any man should boast. So we have nothing to boast about because we didn't do anything.
Thank you, Jesus.
God did it all.
Yes, he did.
He designed it in eternity past.
That's right.
The Bible says Christ was slain from the foundation of the world. That means before Adam sinned, God had already determined that Christ would be crucified. Before he sinned.
Yes.
In eternity past. When Adam didn't exist.
Yes.
When the earth didn't exist.
My Lord.
Before the foundation of the world, God determined that his son would be crucified for the sin of the world because he knew what would happen already.
Amen.
In eternity. That's you right. need to understand that. That's a deep thought.
Yes, it is.
That's deep. So before Adam even ever sinned and transgressed, God had already
Glory,
made the fix for it.
Yes.
And that was by his son. Not only that, but let's see how this plays into our understanding. Now remember, in our midweek lesson and last week, we hit on verse 26 that says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmity. Because of Adam's fall, all of us are, I'm going to use a modern term the kids don't understand, we're all whacked. Everyone is jacked up. There's not a soul that's right.
That's right.
We're twisted, if you will.
Uh-huh.
We always say, don't get it twisted.
Yep.
Well, we are twisted, everyone. See? And the only way we can get untwisted is to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
You see? When you come trusting in Christ, those that were twisted, God straightens you out right away.
New creation.
You see what I'm saying? Whole new creation. Old things are passed away.
Yeah.
Behold, all things have become new. But even when we're saved, this is the part I want you to understand about 26. Even when we are saved, we're still, even though God has blessed us, given us a no condemnation status, we're not snap instantly perfect.
No way.
That would be nice.
Yes, it would.
I wish I could just say, now I do everything right. I don't sin anymore, but I'm not going to stand here in God's sacred desk and tell that lie.
That's right.
You see, I don't do anything wrong anymore. Yes, you do. You're still twisted. And you do not know how to pray. And so it says, likewise, the Spirit. Remember Jesus said when he had to go away, he said that... let not your hearts be troubled, because he made the announcement he was going to go away. The disciples started to get sad. Lord, where are you going? We don't know the way. They start to cry out. What are we going to do? See? But he said, I'm going away, because when I go, I'm going to send another comforter, just like me. And when he has come, he will lead you and guide you to all truth. See? So the Spirit, it says here, verse 26, also helpeth our infirmities. We still have infirmities. We don't do everything right. Our intentions are not made instantly right. We don't think right all the time. We still got old bad habits that need to go.
Yes.
And God's aware of all that.
Yes,
but that didn't stop him from giving his son for you.
Thank you, Jesus.
He loves you and takes you just exactly where you are.
Thank you.
No matter what you're involved in. And when he moves in, now he's going to start the housework.
Yes, he will.
Okay. He's going to get in there and give you peace. First thing he's going to give you is peace. All thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. He's going to give you that peace. You don't have to worry about anything you're dealing with.
Nothing.
I'm coming in. I'm going to move in. And,
you
know, if your house was a mess, this is a metaphor now, not prophesying nothing here.
All right.
You wanted somebody to come help you clean up, the first thing you'd have to do is what? Open the door and let them in. Then they can come in, they can get the mop bucket, and they can get the vacuum cleaner, and they can get the Windex, and they can come through there with a dusting thing, and they can start to clean the house if you let them in.
Gotta let them in.
If you don't let them in, there can't be any cleaning going on.
That's right.
So you want to open the door and let Jesus come into your life.
That's right.
When he comes in, he's going to come right in. He brings his own soap, if you will.
Yes.
He brings his own cleaning elements. He's got that precious blood that washes away all your sins, all your guilty stains. He can start to illuminate those closets that we don't want nobody to go in. We got a closet over here, Lord. And folk today, they bring their closet right out and broadcast.
Yes, they do.
You know, they're proud of their closet. You know, But the Lord can come in no matter what you have in your life, concealed things that you wouldn't discuss in the public.
Yes.
But he knows what they are.
He knows. Yes, he does.
That doesn't stop him from giving you his son.
Thank you, Jesus.
Jesus wants you right now, wherever you are.
Yeah. Glory, hallelujah.
Some people say, well, when I get past this and that, I'm going to come to the church and come to the Lord. No, you need to come now. Open the door. Let the Lord in. He's going to come in and clean it up. And he will fix you. He will lead you and guide you to all truth. He'll give you peace in the meantime.
Yes, he will.
So you can know I'm good. I'm all right. God has covered me.
Yes.
And so the Holy Spirit does that. He comes in because of our infirmity, the fact that we still have that old image, the flesh is still in me, even though I am not in the flesh. That's what Paul said in Romans 7. He says, for we know not what to pray as we ought. I don't know how to ask God to fix this thing that's in the closet that I'm trying to deal with. I don't know. Well, how do I pray to get rid of that? But the Holy Spirit knows.
Yes, sir.
See, he comes in. He knows exactly what to pray for.
Yes.
He knows what strategies to start up in your life. He knows what impulses to put in your heart.
Yes. Yes.
He knows what mindset you need. He knows what company you need to leave alone. He knows all that. And he begins to pour it out to the Lord.
Yes.
We don't even know. And it's without words. It says with groanings that cannot be uttered. Notice that? For we don't know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. See? So that's unutterable communication. It's on a high level. It's the communication between the Godhead.
Yeah.
Between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
You know, it's beyond language.
Amen.
You see? And it may even be higher than the level of instinct and all those things we see. We wonder how do animals know all to do what they're doing. There's some higher communication going on there. You see? And so it says that this is a way that God, the Holy Spirit, communicates on our behalf. You know, this is the next side I want you to see here. Church, understand this. He is also God.
Yes, he is.
So he knows everything that God knows, the Holy Spirit does. And he knows you thoroughly.
That's right.
So he's got it together and he knows what to pray for. And God has given him to everyone who's trusted in Christ.
Amen.
And he that searcheth the hearts, see that? He searches the hearts, knows what the mind, what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints. Saints means holy ones.
Yes.
That's the word hagioi. We're holy ones. We're called out and set apart to be holy for God. God's purposes.
Amen.
Doesn't mean we're walking around, you know, with special suits on and all of that. But like people make you think, oh, these are the saints, or we're going to canonize the saint people.
Right.
Say, no, you're not. God makes saints.
Yes, he does.
A saint is a holy one, one he calls out, separated for his purposes.
Yes,
in the world.
Yes, we are.
That's covered by the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Everyone in the body is a saint.
Amen.
Everyone.
Yes, we are.
See? According to the will of God. So the Holy Spirit is making intercession for the saints.
Yes.
And this is according to the will of God. We pray, thy will be done on earth.
Yes.
As it is in heaven. And the Holy Spirit prays a prayer we don't even know what he says, but he tells God exactly what you need. Now notice, this is how verse 28 kicks in. For we know that all things. Does that say good things? No. Does it say the great things? No, it says all things. That means the bad stuff, the good stuff, any kind of stuff. All things works together for good to them that love God and to them who are the called. See that? God had to call you.
Yes, he is.
Or else you could not come.
That's right.
According to his purpose.
His purpose.
He has a purpose, the reason why he called us.
My Lord.
See, we may not even understand what it is yet, but he's going to teach us as we go.
Yes.
That's the good news about the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
He gets in there, he's guiding you and leading you to a purpose and a reason why you're in the world.
Right.
You know, he's going to reveal that to you. It becomes evident to you. In the meantime, he gives you complete peace.
Yes.
I don't have to worry about a thing.
That's right.
Make me want to go into Stevie Wonder. Don't you worry about a... I'm not going to sing. I'll leave it alone. But we can go there. You know, we don't have to worry about a thing. You see. Because the Lord got your back. You're covered. And so notice this now, and this is according to his purpose, verse 29. Now this is beautiful. This section of the scripture you ought to make a special note of. Theologians have called this the golden chain. And you'll see why. It's a chain of events that happens to everyone who is called by God. For whom he did foreknow. That means in eternity past, he predetermined to have a love relationship with you.
Yeah.
That term foreknowledge is not just, doesn't mean he knew ahead of time.
That's right.
It means he determined to love you.
Yes.
Passionately.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Before time.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Before Adam sinned.
Right. Yes.
Ephesians 1 and 4 says that we were chosen in the beloved from the foundation of the world.
That's right.
Look at Ephesians 1 4 sometime. Write that down. We'll talk more about it in the midweek service. You see? And so he had already chosen you, selected you before you were ever born. Get that in your head. That'll really do something for you. Before you were ever born, before you were ever conceived, he knew you would be born. He knew you would be conceived. He knew you would go through all that you went through before you received the call to come to Jesus Christ. He predetermined. That's why that first thing we said here is that when God calls, he also empowers. He's going to give you the power to do everything you were created to do. For his glory, he foreknew you. He determined to love you in times past. He also did predestine you. See, that predestinates you, and this is the key, to be conformed to the image of his Son. So we have a goal in life, is to be like Christ. You know what? And when I look at myself, if I were to make a scale with Jesus on one end, which I'm going to do here just to give you an illustration. If we were to make a scale and come down here and put Jesus, and I'm going to go to the other end. Somebody name me somebody you think is evil. Anybody, just name somebody who has been evil and wicked.
Hitler.
Okay, I'm going to put Hitler down here.
Satan.
Okay. Well, we know Satan. I'm talking about just regular people. If I made a scale, notice this now. If I made a scale from Jesus to Hitler, where would I go on this scale? And my answer is right over here, next to Hitler. I don't belong down here at all. I got a long way before here. Even though Hitler would be the bottom of the scale, I belong down on that end. I don't belong up here or in the middle or anything like that. You know, and that's my own personal assessment.
Yes.
But the fact is, Jesus is so far beyond us.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens when you get saved is he takes you from that Hitler status. And even Hitler, if he... could have repented, if he did, which I don't know if he did or not, you get to come here.
Yes.
By faith in Jesus Christ alone, he moves you right up to equality with Christ.
That's right. Amen.
And that's all by faith, by his grace.
My Lord.
And the way you get in on that is you believe the gospel, the good news, that God has so loved you that he gave his Son to make you like him. And now our goal in life is to be like Christ.
Yeah.
See, so I'm not going around doing stuff I used to do. God has given me great victory over lots of stuff. And it gets better and better. I'm in a process of improvement. If you want your life improved, trust in the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart. And lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your path. He'll show you how to get where he wants you to be. Okay, so he predestined us to be conformed to the image of his Son so that he, Christ, might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now notice this golden chain here. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, he also justified. That means declared you not guilty, just as though you never sinned. Whom he justified, them he also glorified. And see, and glorified is the final state. That's after everything is all done and there's a new heaven and a new earth. You see what I'm saying? So God looks at you as a completed work already.
Right.
You're already glorified in his mind. Now we're somewhere in between called. Most of us who are here have been called and we have been justified. That means we've been declared not guilty. And what he doesn't say is sanctified. That's the part that goes on between called and glorified. God is sanctifying you now.
Yes.
He has positionally sanctified us already. We've been moved out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his beloved Son.
Bible.
Where we have redemption and the forgiveness of sin.
Yes.
And now he's perfecting you. He's bringing you up to conform you to the image of Christ. And so what I want you to see is that even though we are still beset with infirmities as a result of our fallen condition after being saved, we are fully able to walk in progress because of the spiritual prayers and intercession offered with precision by the indwelling Holy Spirit.
Yes.
There's no lack in that prayer at all.
That's right. Amen.
The Holy Spirit is offering perfect prayer for each one of us.
Amen.
He knows each one of us to the nth degree, beyond what we know, better than we know ourselves.
Yes.
And because God's calling of us, we are able to walk with power. That's the reason why you and I can walk with power, because he has already determined the birth. We were born again.
Yes.
When he called us, the development of our lives, we will call sanctification, and the outcome to his glory for each believer. And therefore, the golden chain will eternally secure each one on whom it is applied.
Yes. See, amen.
Pass him to God.
Mama.
By faith. So if you're here today and you have not been saved,
glory, hallelujah,
and you would like to enter into this relationship that we call being saved, we'd like to invite you right now to come. We offer the salvation that God has provided to you, and we would like you to receive it. The Bible says, as many as received him, to them he gives the right to be called the sons of God, even those that believe on his name. So you come by simple faith. Right now, if you trust in the name of Jesus Christ and you would like to secure and testify today that you will believe in him, please come at this time.
My Lord.
Amen.
Come to Jesus, make up your mind. He will make your life brand new. He will take care of you. Come to Jesus.
My Lord.
While you have time.
Amen. We see that there are none. We have done as God commands. Now, if you happen to be here and you are already saved and you would like to become a member of St. Timothy MB Church, we offer status to you to come at this time. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Glory, hallelujah. Amen. Glory, hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Glory, hallelujah.
Anybody who would like to be a member of our church, we invite you to come. We will take up the duty and the honor of discipling you.
Amen.
To teach you about the word of God.
Amen.
To teach you about prayer. To help you make it through from one step to another in life, in your transition.
Yes.
And so we invite you to come. Do not be ashamed on the Lord. He said, he who is ashamed to own me, I will be ashamed to own him before my Father and his holy angels.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So you may come at this time if you'd like to be a member of St. Timothy Missionary Baptist Church. Amen. Church membership is extremely important because it's in the environment of the church that we learn and we grow spiritually.
Yes.
Amen. All right, and so this is a very special moment.
Oh, yes, it is.
Yes. Yes.
And some of you may not be aware of what's who we have here today. This is my son.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. So we thank God for his coming.
Glory, hallelujah.
Yes. Amen. And so we thank the good Lord. If there's anybody here, do not be ashamed. Come on at this time. We promise to do an effective job. As we love the word of God and we keep it at the top of our list here. We have all sorts of people who are trained in the word. That are very, very anxious to work with you, to help you learn. I also meant to ask this morning, and I'm just going to ask this at this time before we hear a word from Jonathan. Is there anyone here who doesn't have a copy of the word? We'd like to make sure you do.
Any of you who may be studying that have come to visit or whatever reason, if you need a copy of the Bible, we would like to provide you with one. And you can see us about that. That's something we'd like to do.
With all our members, of course, you know, we're going to equip you with everything that you need. And so you can either get with me, Brother Adams, and we'd be willing to equip you.
All right. Amen. So we want to let you know that even if you happen to be visiting or whatever the case is, we'd like to have you leave with a copy of the Word.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
All right. So, Sister McClure.
Brother Pastor, we have Brother Jonathan Fisher coming to. He's been baptized.
Amen.
Coming to his Christian experience.
Amen. 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 I'm aware of that because I baptized. Amen. Thank you. Would you like to have any words, Jonathan?
I'm happy to be here. I can't wait till we get a drum set so I can
All right. Amen. We will be making room for drums. Also, I am shopping for an organ. We happen to be organists. If you want to come help us with that.
Amen.
All right. Amen. So we will at this time extend to them the right hand of fellowship. Amen. 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 Thank you. Welcome aboard. Amen.
What? Fellowship, what a joy to find on the everlasting arms.
Praise, and at this time, if all minds are clear, we'd like to ask you to stand as we receive the benediction.
Go right ahead.
Speak up.
This son, Reverend Michael Douglas.
Amen. 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 Brother Douglas, do you have anything you'd like to say, or?
All right.
Amen. We thank him. Amen. We know that the fruit don't fall far from the tree. Amen. 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 We thank God for that. Amen. Let us have a closing word of prayer. Father God, we just thank you. We bless you. We praise you. And Father, we ask today that you energize somebody that was walking a little timid, that they might walk in power today.
Yes, Lord.
That they might go forth, oh God, in your name and with your spirit and by your word, oh God, holding up their head nice and high, Lord, because we are yours. And you have bought us with a price. We are not our own. And so, Lord, be with us as we go down from this place. Help this lesson just sink deep into our spirits and our minds, God, that we might be able to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory, that we might have a boldness we never had before, that we might have a peace that we never had before, and rest in a way we never did before, oh God, in your peace. and in your power. We thank you now. We give you praise in the name of Jesus, oh God. We ask you keep us, bless us till as we separate one from another.
Yes, Lord.
Let the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. For you are our Lord, our strength, and our Redeemer.
Yes.
Now to him who is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory,
yes,
majesty, dominion, and power now and forevermore. And the whole church said together, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.